The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined here in the studio by Shaka Hislop. Also joining us on tonight's show, we have Jules Laurent, Stuart Robson and Jan Agafyotov too. A little later on, we'll be hearing from Gemma Soler as we talk about the latest drama at Barcelona. But let's start in the Premier League with Cristiano Ronaldo and his re-debut at Manchester United. It started in style for him with two goals on the day. Jules, you were at the game. You called it a privilege to be there on the Gavin Jules podcast.
It was. It really was, because it was just an incredible atmosphere, like one like I've rarely seen before in stadiums, whether I was there working or as a fan. It was, even if you're not a Cristiano fan or a Manchester United fan, it was very, very special to be there. Just the whole buzz around the stadium, around him, you know, the family being there, his mum, Cristiano, the two goals, of course. He will play better, and United will play better for him, around him, in the next few weeks, because everybody will need some time to adapt to him. But just what we saw, the fact that at halftime of all the afternoon kickoffs in the Premier League on Saturday, only one goal was scored, and that was by Cristiano. It was all the narrative around him was just incredible. It felt like destiny, really, that he had such an incredible moment, really, at Old Trafford on Saturday afternoon.
Now, Robbo, on last week's Gavin Jules podcast, another plug for the pod, you weren't sure Ronaldo coming back to Old Trafford would be such a great match. Did Saturday's performance change your mind?
Well, I think they played him in the right way. I think when we were talking with Jules and Gab on that on the show, we were talking about how he was going to play, how other players were going to play around him. But when I've seen him play for Juventus over the last couple of years, he has to play as the out-and-out centre-forward. Yes, he's going to drift wider at times and get on the ball, and he'll go deeper. As long as players are running past him, then Manchester United have got no problems at all. I thought he looked sharp, he looked lively, he took his goals well, and I thought he played better than I expected him to. But he was a real threat, and I thought he played in the right position, and Solskjaer got his tactics absolutely right.
Jan, I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Absolutely, and I think this has been a fantastic summer when Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, leaving the clubs, going to new clubs. And Messi, you can say a lot about Messi going to PSG, but this is, I know there's a lot of money involved. I know this is a power battle. This is Jorge Mendes, it's Sir Alex Ferguson, and all the class of 92 wanting this boy back. And then he produced two goals. I mean, this is love. This is what is sold into us. This is Hollywood. But this is what they are selling us. I was doing Leverkusen against Dortmund, one of the best games I've seen this season so far. But people in studio were all matter of one thing, was to watch Cristiano Ronaldo play. So did we. We have two screens. And when we were live on air, they were running around in the studio saying, Cristiano Ronaldo has scored. So for me, this is a 24-year-old man, a boy, leaving Manchester United, coming back as a 36-year-old man and a grown-up man, but still the love of the game. So, I mean, everybody, the script was done and the script was delivered again from Cristiano Ronaldo.
But what about the script for this season? He says he is there to win titles. Are United legitimate Premier League title contenders, Shaka?
I think they are now. And we've made this argument around Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Manchester United and what the ceiling is or what the expectation is for them. With Ronaldo coming in, the expectation is silverware. Saying that, there are at least three other clubs in the Premier League that have that exact same expectation. Not everybody can lift silverware this season.
And all three of them are ahead of them on the favourites list.
Yes, but it's a long way between now and when silverware is handed out and what the bookies make of who's favourite and not is irrelevant at this point. Ronaldo coming into this team, I think, gives them a lift psychologically. It gives the fans a lift, the fans who've been starved of meaningful silverware for quite some time. It gives a very talented locker room real focus and real drive. And it gives, and Jan may not be pleased to hear me say this, but it gives Ole Gunnar Solskjaer less of an excuse. If Manchester United do not deliver, or at least come very close to delivering silver, major silverware this time around. But the fairy tale story certainly has got off to a good start. Long may it continue, because I firmly believe that big clubs like Manchester United are absolutely vital to the well-being of football, and in this instance, English football, to see them back amongst those who are favourites, and that this kind of emotion being involved is a good thing for everybody, regardless of who you support.
Jules, I think he said as much, hasn't he, that there are no excuses now he's got the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo and Rafael Varane in the squad.
That's right. I think, you know, I mean, he would be lying if he said the opposite anyway, because we all know it. When you've got these kind of squads, and yet you can debate who has the best squad right now in the Premier League. Is it City? Is it Chelsea? Is it United? But still, this is a team that can, this is a squad and a team that can win the Premier League this season. And you would expect them to be in this title race for very, very long this season, and then disappointed if they don't win it in the end. And if they don't win it, it's because either someone will be much better than them, or because something will be missing. And right now, the question marks over Solskjaer: can he find the right formula to play them all together? Can he get the best out of Cristiano and all those attacking players? How do you play them all? Where do they all fit? If he gets there, then I think they will be very, very hard to beat, and so strong defensively and offensively. But if he struggles, then I think the pressure on Solskjaer will of course intensify.
What do you think of that, Robbo? Do you think that's the case?
What I have seen Solskjaer talk about today is about, you know, managing Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo at 36 can't play every game. He can't play every minute of every game. There's going to be times when he's going to have to come off. There's going to be times when he won't start the game. There's going to be times when he's going to have to be rested. And he's got to accept that. He never accepted it at Juventus, and that was a big problem. If Solskjaer manages him well and picks the right games for him to play in and gets the best out of him, Solskjaer has to do very, very well in the title race. If he doesn't do well, he'll be under a lot of pressure.
Let's talk about that pressure then, Jan, for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, well, the good thing about this is that, of course, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer knows about it. He's been under Sir Alex Ferguson. There was a failed season when they were second. It was all about winning silverware. So check, he knows that. You're taking Cristiano Ronaldo in. I think it is an advantage to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer telling his football players, the players in the squad, what happened to Manchester United when they took Eric Cantona in that team. He made every player around him better. And I think that one of the best things, or the management style of Ole Gunnar now, will have to tell a Lindegaard, a Greenwood, a Sancho, or whatever. If you are wise now, you just listen to, you just see what this guy is doing. And there were some articles today talking still now what they eat. I mean, they look after what they eat now suddenly, and all these kind of stories. So Ole Gunnar will know about this, and I think that he's clever enough to understand that if he gets the player to learn from Cristiano Ronaldo, see that he has he won't be the captain, Cristiano Ronaldo, but still on the pitch. We were talking about where will he put him as a number nine or out. Ronaldo will do more or less whatever he wants. And Ole Gunnar will give him that mandate because he will score goals for fun. And then the other players need to adjust. And when they get 2 years older, they can tell themselves that we learn from one of the best in the game's history. And that is the privilege they're having. And I think that is a lot of what Ole Gunnar will tell his players right now.
So on that point then, you talked about the other players, Jan. Jules, the reports from The Athletic today are that Pogba could have his mind changed about staying at United because Ronaldo's there. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so mind change is the wrong, not from you, but in general, because he hasn't decided yet. We've said many times he loves being a Manchester United player. He loves being there. The family loves it there too. It's just that the contract expires next summer and he's just going to take his time to decide what to do. He knows that other clubs will come for him, especially as a free agent. He also knows that on the table right now, there's a new contract offer from Manchester United. Mino Raiola is very much aware of all of that as well. And right now, they're not against staying or for leaving or the other way around. It's just, let's see where this team is going. And right now, it's still a bit too early. We're still only, what, 4 games into the new season in the league. So I think they're going to take their time a bit more. But of course, having Cristiano there and his friend Varane, the recruitment from the summer is a very positive sign to convince Paul to stay. And if the season goes well, as we've been explaining, in Europe, domestically as well, then of course that will encourage him to stay and sign this big, which will be his last contract. He's 28 now, and stay for longer at United. But he hasn't decided anything right now, and certainly not that he was going to sign the contract in the next few weeks or anything like that. But he's very happy to be a United player, and certainly what we've seen so far at the start of this season is very encouraging for United in terms of keeping him at the club for longer.
EAC in 4 games, 7 assists. Robbo, what have you made of Paul Pogba's performances so far this season?
Well, it's what I would expect when he first came to Manchester United. When he was at Juventus, he was a world beater. He could do everything you wanted from a midfield player. You know, people talk about he's not very good defensively. He was a good defensive player when he was playing for Juventus. And he'll be happy if he's playing well. And at the moment, he's playing well. He's got his assist. He's picking out the right passes. He looks fit. He looks as though he's strong. He can manipulate the ball. He can keep switching the play. He's defending well. He's winning it back. And all the time he's playing like that, he's a great player, and he will stay at Manchester United, because players, when they're happy, is when they're playing well, and that's what he's doing at the moment.
More talk about this on the latest Gab and Jules podcast. It has just dropped. Derek Ray joins them, and there's a lot of talk about the Bundesliga as well, so don't miss that. Some really interesting insights. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Raul de Tomas has bagged Espanyol's maiden goal of this Primera campaign. Yannick Carrasco, and at long last, it's the leveler for Atletico. Oh, he might be able to continue his run. Lamar, oh, it's gone in for Atletico, right at the death.
Goalkeeper has to do better. That's a poor mistake.
Atletico have prevailed.
A brilliant weekend of action in La Liga as we now welcome in Gemma Soler. And Gemma, that last goal we saw there from Tommy Lamar in the Atleti game came in the 9th minute of added time. How did the referee find 10 minutes to notch on to this game?
Hello, Kay. Well, you know, it's quite a strange to see 10 minutes of injury time. But if we are fair, if we count all the minutes that went lost on that game, it's actually almost 13 minutes because there was a controversy with the goal, that goal of Lemar who was cancelled. So that was more than 5 minutes. Three players had to be assisted. 4 minutes the irritation because it was a game played at 2 p.m. here in Barcelona in Cornellà al Prat. That was also 2 more minutes plus the review of the goal that went for Atletico de Madrid. So this is 12 minutes, 52 seconds. So, of course, the Espanyol players, the coach, Vicente Moreno, they were very, very upset. But the fair, with the clock in the hand, it was a fair 10 minutes extra.
Yeah, an extra 5 minutes, though, just for a VAR review there seems a bit excessive.
Yeah, it does, but Gemma broke it down, and when, once you put the numbers up like that, then it's hard to argue with it. Listen, any time 9 or 10, that kind of time goes up on a board, you question, especially when you're an opponent, especially when you're up against the defending champions, and you're trying to hold on to a point in this instance. But given the breakdown, given the hydration breaks, it's hard to argue against it.
Robbo, having said that, you were on the comms for this one. You think Diego Lopez should have done better on that goal?
Yeah, when you saw it from behind the goal, it didn't look such a bad mistake, but he actually fell backwards. Lamar on his right foot, I didn't think it was a particularly great shot, and he doesn't get both hands to it. He's almost diving backwards, and I think it's one he should have saved. And Lamar should never have got into that position in the first place. He played the ball in and just continued his run on his weaker right foot. I still think the goalkeeper has to do a lot better. Shaq is obviously going to disagree, but you know, I just think that overall, Atletico, in the end, just about deserved their win. They kept plugging away. Simeone made a lot of changes in the game. He made three substitutions at halftime. You know, he brought on Renan Lodi at left back. He brought on Lamar. He brought on Kondogbia. He then changed Griezmann just after that. So he knew things weren't going well at halftime. He changed from a back three to a back four. So he has to have credit, but also credit Espanyol. I thought they played excellently in the first half. Some great counter-attacking football.
Shaka, what do you think about Diego Lopez on that goal?
Listen, I thought he got two good hands to it, to Robbo's point. And if, as a keeper, you get two good hands to a shot, listen, I know Thomas Lemar wasn't that far out, struck really well, but you get two good hands on it. And as a keeper, you're expecting that to... You are expected to get that around the post somehow. So, though I'm fully paid a member of the Goalkeepers Union, I think still... I think it's one that he should have done better with, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Let's tell you about a couple of injuries at Barcelona and Real Madrid. Big injuries that could see these players sidelined for a little while now. Martin Brathwaite at Barcelona and Gareth Bale at Real Madrid as well. Gareth Bale set to miss 4 to 6 weeks for a right hamstring
injury. There's a surprise.
And Martin Brathwaite set for knee surgery. So that turns the focus onto Barcelona. And oh, is there a lot of drama continuing there right now? This is Joan Laporta on Ronald Koeman this summer. He says, Ronald Koeman is a coach who we did not appoint, so we need these conversations to be sure we all share the same idea of the new Barca team. Do not discount that Koeman will continue, although more reflection is still needed. You've probably seen this. This was said before the season started and before we knew that Koeman was for sure staying on. Anyway, he has stuck with him since. Then last week, more reports surfaced about basically a couple of pointers if Koeman wants to have his contract extended, and that is that he must play Ricky Puig, he must play Samuel Umtiti, and he must not deviate from the 4-3-3. Laporta has denied this, but Koeman has still decided to address this and has done so during the international duty. He said last week there were things that have gone out in the press, subjects of the formation of Ricky Puig, of Umtiti, and something more that again suggests the coach doesn't have all the power. He spoke too much now on two occasions. I'm always open to listening. That can be done in private. I like it when a president is engaged and asks questions. It just shouldn't happen in the press. That was the problem. I don't look back on last summer fondly. When you, as a club, are not clear about the future of the coach, there is going to be speculation. And if it is you, the coach, who tries to be clear, people don't like that. I'm open to staying. I'm just having fun. Thanks to me, this club has a future. This seems a bit delicate, Gemma, that there's this back and forth between the president and the manager.
Yeah, definitely there is a lot of back and forth, but we need to take into account that is a club in the middle of the biggest crisis in the last decade or two last decades. This summer, the president was not clear about Ronald Koeman's future. He didn't say it like I'm going to say it, but it was something like, I'm going to try to find a better coach. If I can't, he will stay. And this happened eventually. So that doesn't look like a very good starting point from this season. It's a coach that was appointed by the former president. We all know what happened with that former president and the huge crisis here in Barcelona. So, of course, there are all the time this back and forward. President Laporta, He's a charming character. He likes to talk sometimes too much. And of course, Ronald Koeman is very uncomfortable with all these rumors and all these interviews. And he was quite harsh on his last interview in the press of the Netherlands. So of course, it's not the best climate to build a team, because it's a team, a youngster team under construction. But it's what it is. It's a club under a crisis, and the president and the coach, we have all the ingredients that they don't have the better of the relationships.
Gemma, did Koeman address this again today? Did he speak about this situation once again?
Yeah, but he put a little bit of water in the fire. They have an amazing, difficult game tomorrow against Bayern Munich. So he kind of say that something that, yeah, it's true, we have a different kind of understanding. But when we see each other face to face, we kind of put some irony on these words, trying to say that, okay, we don't agree in a lot of things, but deeply we have a professional relationship.
Gemma, let's talk a little bit about Barcelona against Bayern, meeting again for the first time since that quarterfinal famous Bayern win, 8-2. What's the feeling in Barcelona about this encounter?
Let's say, we cannot say there is fear, but almost. The supporters are really worried about this game. When it rains here in Barcelona lately, it pours. We have another long-time injury. This Martin Braithwaite for 3-4 months injury. You signed another forward, Kun Agüero. We haven't seen him 1 minute. He's still, we will have to the end of October. Ansu Fati is probably the most exciting striker now in this team. We're not going to see him for 2-3 weeks at least. Also, Ousmane Dembele. So you have the most difficult game in a long time, because, of course, you need to recover a little bit from that humiliation 1 year and a half ago in Estadio da Luz in Lisboa. And you have two strikers, Memphis Depay, who is doing really well, and De Jong, Luke De Jong, who was the third forward in Sevilla. So it doesn't look like the best scenario. Probably the best Koeman weapon against Nagelsmann in this team is that we have no idea how he's going to play. We haven't seen Barcelona for 16 days now. We still don't know which system is he going to use. Maybe he will be back to three central defenders. So probably that's the only weapon he has, apart from the Pedri's inspiration of Martin Braithwaite. But of course, there is a lot of concern here in Barcelona against in this game, because they cannot hold another humiliation.
Jan, on the other side of things, what's it being seen like in the Bayern camp?
Well, it's amazing with Bayern, Kay. It's like the balance in the team is unbelievable. We just hope that there'll be some excitement this year in the Bundesliga. We're waiting for that for 9 years, to be honest. But the core in the team, with Neuer at the back, with Goretzka and Kimmich making the balance in the team, with Müller, Gnabry, Sané, Musiala, Lewandowski. I would say that Bayern Munich, the 12, 13 best players there, if they can keep them fit, they can compete with the best. There were a lot of stories today in Germany about that humiliation of Barcelona. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge said I couldn't believe my eyes that we were doing this to great Barcelona. And there were stories about Uli Hoeneß telling Alaba, when he said he's going to negotiate with Barcelona, and he has asked him, are you going to negotiate with the head of the bankrupt club or something like that? So, but still, this I would see Bayern Munich as the favourite, because they look good now, and a lot of players away on international duty. Hansi Flick is doing, he tried to make Germany look like FC Bayern, and then he needs the players still coming back very convincingly, beating Jesse March Leipzig in the Topspiel of the weekend in Germany. So I will have Bayern Munich as not clear favourites, because it's Barcelona, but I will have them as favourites.
Well, Sebi and the team will be looking back on that game in the Champions League and the others in tomorrow's show. Don't forget that ESPN FC is available 7 days a week. And we thank Gemma Soler for joining us, for telling us all the latest from La Liga. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
A plentiful supply of goals normally to be anticipated when Bayer Leverkusen host Borussia Dortmund. Mourinho did well. Wirtz on the move for Leverkusen! The opening goal arrives in the ninth minute from Florian Wirtz. Useful ball. Again, and Bellingham this time! What a turnaround! No goal. It remains 1-1, and the cheers come from the Leverkusen fans, and here's why.
How many minutes back do we go before goal happens to think it has to do something with the decision, goal or no goal?
Trying to get something moving for Dortmund. Action spills over to the other end. Florian Wirtz trying to lay it off to Patrick Schick! Leverkusen's lead is restored on the cusp of half-time, buried by the lethal Schick. It's for Dortmund. There's the goal that they were looking for at the start of the second half. It comes from Julian Brandt against his former club. Tight angle, that didn't bother him. Pick out one of the targets for Leverkusen, and Kosunu was there. It's Diaby, missed at the first time of asking, but scores at the second. How about that from Moussa Diaby? Inside the final 20 minutes, and it's a peach of a free kick from Rafael Guerreiro. Oh, you cannot hit them any better than that. Good idea by Marlon. It's Kosunu together with Reis. Marco Reis falls to the ground just in front of the Nordbereich. Another dramatic turn because Daniel Siebert is going to have a look.
Yeah, he slapped him somewhat of a slap there shortly before the ball got out. And there's blood also.
And the decision is penalty. And now it all goes just a little bit quiet. There's a hush in anticipation of the penalty taken by Erling Haaland to give Borussia Dortmund the lead, finally.
What an incredible game it was between Leverkusen and Dortmund. Just looking at Dortmund's results this season, now obviously scoring goals, they've won 3 out of 4 so far in the league, but they have given up at least two goals in every match so far. Jan Agafyortov back with us. Jan, I thought bringing in Marco Rosa was supposed to give the team a bit more defensive structure.
Well, they can't defend. Dortmund haven't been good at defending for years. And Mats Hummels is a symbol of that. Mats Hummels is the best defender in the world who can't defend. And he didn't even play this game. And Mats Hummels is in there, but this is the problem for Dortmund. But having said that, I must say, okay, this was a fantastic football game. This game had everything. And Marco Rose, he's been typical Dortmund coach and not typical. It was the same against Hoffenheim. They got it equalized in the 90th minute. That was typical Dortmund, and that was not typical winning 3-2. And the same thing now, it was so typical coming behind, losing goals as they do for fun in that club, and then coming back and winning this game. Now, this was an unbelievable game with Haaland, Bellingham, and Wirtz. And if we throw Musiala into the mixer as well from Bayern Munich, I mean, the Premier League clubs will probably make so much money to get these players, so there will be so much oil somewhere in Middle East on their way to Germany at the moment, because this was an unbelievable football game with great football talents.
It really was just brilliant to see. And once again, your boy Erling Haaland with multiple goals, another multiple goal game. What a performance from him, Jan.
But look at his stats. It's 65 games, 65 goals, and it's also some assists there. But what you saw in this game was something that you haven't seen before. First of all, you have Meunier. A, he makes a cross. B, he makes a great cross. And then Erling Haaland scores. He scored a header before in the Bundesliga, but this was like a proper header goal. Look at that. The balance he had in his body. He got the height, he got the strength. I think that this will be a part of his game that he will develop even more. And then you need crosses. And on the penalty, he was so cool. He had 8 goals now in the last 5 games for club and country. Still developing, but Dortmund need that. And you say, okay, they can't defend, so they have to score goals for fun if they're going to be up there with the best.
Well, the sporting director has actually come out and defended his side and his player because Marco Reus, as we saw there in that game, this is what Hasan Salihamidžić said about his inclusion. He said, I think it's surprising that Marco Reus left the national team and then played again a few days later. Our players stay and play. It's not the first time either. If you're injured, fine. But otherwise, Serge Gnabry stayed there and now he's injured. So this is the Bayern sporting director, by the way, talking about this. And Michael Zorc says, Salihamidžić should keep his mouth shut and speak on the issues at Bayern Munich. Who does he think he is? Jan, who does he think he is?
Yeah, it's a good question. I will give you the answer. He thinks he's Uli Hoeneß. Uli Hoeneß has done this since he was 27, you know? And now Salihamidžić is his man. He is his guy, and he will tell him, just be a bit offensive. Go straight to them. Go on the throat. Just do it. What Salihamidžić forgot to tell you is that Thomas Müller had to go off from Germany as well. And he played against Leipzig as well. But that is just small details. And Sor, been around for a long, long time. Captain of the Champions League winning side of Dortmund. Has been there for many, many years. And they don't like that. Uli Hoeneß, he had a flair. Uli Hoeneß was the Don Corleone, you know. Salihamidžić still is just he's just a driver for Don Corleone, and he tries to be tough. And Sork is having a go back at him. Honestly, privately, I love it. I think that is how it should be. Let's be honest with each other. Dortmund hates that Dortmund take their players. Leipzig hate that they take their players. Let them hear it. And Salihamidžić, keep driving Don Corleone.
Yeah, it's not very private. So just trying to get under their skin or genuinely annoyed, do you think?
If they try to get under the skin, well, you know, Bayern Munich have done that for years. That's what they do. This is what it's all about. But I don't think it's the fault of Bayern Munich. I mean, Leipzig was a challenger and Bayern Munich took their coach, Upamecano and Sabitzer and all their staff. Bayern Munich do that all the time. Sork has a bad, you know, background when he's coming because he's losing his best players. He's selling his best player. And that is not Bayern Munich's fault, you know. So they try to get into Sork's skin. But I think that Sork knows exactly what he's doing because he sees that Salihamidžić is a weaker link at Bayern than Uli Hoeneß was. Uli Hoeneß did it with power and Salihamidžić is still just a rookie.
Listen, if Jan loves it, we love it. And we love the fact that there are more Bundesliga games coming up for you this weekend here on ESPN+. Plus. Lots for you to cast your eyes on and to catch up with. It all starts on Friday and it takes you all the way through to Sunday when you will be able to see Borussia Dortmund in action against Union Berlin. Bayern will be taking on Bochum. Don't miss those games.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Stuart Robson back with us now as we focus on Serie A. And in the bottom half of the table, yes, that is Juventus, still without a win. They lost to Napoli last time out. Robbo, what is going on?
Well, of course, they didn't have all their players at the weekend, but it was still a very poor performance. You know, when Allegri came in, you want him to have a game plan. You want to see what they're trying to do. And I was watching the game against Napoli, and I couldn't see what their game plan was. He played with Kulusevski in behind Morata. There was no combination between those two players. They were given a goal early on by a mistake by Manolas. And from that moment on, Napoli controlled the game. They created chances without taking them. I was really disappointed with the shape of Juventus. Rabiot was, I think, meant to be on the left-hand side of a four-man midfield. The midfield didn't really get hold of the ball. The two centre-halves, I thought, played quite well, Bonucci and Chiellini, but as they always do. And the goalkeeper's having a terrible time at the moment. So Chesney just doesn't look quite right. He's made a couple of mistakes. He made another mistake against Napoli. Juventus and Allegri need to sort themselves out very quickly. Yes, they need to get their best players back in the team, but he's got to come up with a shape and a style of football that they all the players know what's being played, all the team know what's going on. At the moment, that's not happening for them, and they look a very poor outfit.
Now, Robbo, he said that there's still time to turn it around. Allegri did. Now, a few seasons back, we saw Juve with a really bad start, and they did manage to turn it around, but this isn't the same team that Juve side was, is it?
No, obviously there's no Ronaldo this season. I think he had a big part to play over the last couple of years with his goals. They've got players that I think are just drifting away from being at their best. You know, there was talk about, well, Dybala wasn't playing. Well, I haven't seen Dybala play well for quite some while. You know, Chiesa is probably their key attacking player. He wasn't available at the weekend. Bernardeschi looked as though he was going to be out of the club and had a decent European Championship for Italy. So he's back in the side on the right-hand side. McKennie, when he's playing in an average team, which Juventus are at the moment, he's not going to dictate the play. He's not going to pick out passes. He's a good player in a very good team. And Juventus at the moment aren't a very good team. Deschilio, I think, is a very good player when he's playing in a good team. But he was playing at right back, wasn't able to get forward, didn't defend particularly well. So they've got real problems at Juventus at the moment. Allegri was in charge when they had that bad start a few years ago, and he turned them around. But at the moment, I can't see how he's going to do it.
Yeah, talk about turning a team around. What about Jose Mourinho and Roma at the top of the standings there? And we've seen some brilliant images of Jose Mourinho of late, not least when El Shaarawy's goal went in at the weekend and he was running down the sideline. What's happening there? Are you happy to see it, Robbo?
Yes, I think he needs a new lease of life. Hopefully this is just the start. Hopefully he doesn't sort of peter out like he did at Spurs, because he had a good start at Spurs when he went there. He had a good start at Manchester United. I think they won their first four games at Manchester United. I think Spurs won their first couple of three games under him. He's just got to keep it going. He's got to keep his discipline. He's got to make sure he gets the right players out on the pitch. He's got to not criticise the players too much. He's got a good shape to his team at the moment. I think they look a fairly good side. Yes, it was a late goal against Sassuolo, but if he gets everything right and he keeps the formation the same and plays the same sort of football week in, week out, and doesn't try too many things, I think Roma will be a good side this season, much better than they were last season and the season before. So, yeah, he's doing a good job at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting start to the Serie A, and we'll continue to talk about it here on ESPN FC. And we'll talk with these guys on Extra Time today. Make sure you join us on that, and you can always catch it on YouTube. Just make sure you subscribe and always send your questions in for the team to answer them.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on the latest edition of ESPN FC. We thank everybody who did join us for it. But stick around, because we have Extra Time coming up next. We'll be answering your questions with the gang. All right, welcome into Extra Time. Problem is, I haven't got the questions. So am I going to run together, or are you going to run?
I'll go, because I have a feeling we'll have another question from Kay Murray's number one. I saw that on the YouTube. Oh, goodness me. Do you have any questions here?
Yeah.
You have no questions.
Oh, no. All right. Well,
no questions.
No questions. Maybe we can bring them up on the screen and we'll be able to see them that way.
You will. I hope you will, because I can't see a thing from here.
What Cech is actually referring to is we have a brand new... Oh, here we go. All right. Ezio says, Jan, you have one game to save the world.
I'll go for the questions while you read the questions.
You have to pick one striker at their peak. Gerd Müller, Ronaldo Nazario, Marco van Basten or Samuel Eto'o, just for one game.
One game only
go, Ms. Murray.
To save the world, to save Titanic, to save everything, then you will get in Gerd Müller. Gerd Müller still, Robert Lewandowski beat him, his record last season, but Gerd Müller was the ultimate goal getter and he would get a goal for you.
Sounds like an Escape the Victory remake.
I like that question. Who would you go for?
Huh?
Who would you go for of these players that you can see on the...
I'm going for Samuel Eto'o.
Yeah. What about you, Robbo?
Well, the original Ronaldo, he's on the list, isn't he? My eyes aren't that good to see that.
He's on the letter up there.
Or that. Yeah, the original Ronaldo, I'd always go with him. What a player he was.
I'm going original Ronaldo
as well. Yes, he got a bit big in his later years, but what a great player.
I can't see so clearly from here.
I'm going to go for Marco van Basten.
I'm going original Ronaldo. Change my mind.
All right.
Tough choice.
Sergio Quintrao says, Kay, you never choose my questions, but I'll keep trying. Just to let you know, I don't choose the questions.
Yes, she does.
I don't.
Yes, she does.
But here is your question today, Miguel Gutierrez. Okay. You never choose my questions, but I'll keep trying. Question for Xhaka. How good can Vinicius become if he continues at this rate?
I think Vinicius and the addressers on the show yesterday, and I totally agree. I think he can be as good as Eden Hazard was at his peak if he continues. The big complaint of Vinicius up to this point was end product finishing. No question about him with the ball at his feet. No question about him taking players on one-on-one. I think potentially, again, can be as good as Hazard there. If his finishing continues to improve, as it has done this season, I don't see why he doesn't emulate what we saw from Eden Hazard in his Chelsea peak years.
Yeah, maybe some more socially distanced goal celebrations.
Oh, let him jump in the crowd.
It was
crowd.
Nice to see, though, wasn't it?
Crowds are back. How good
crowds
must it
back.
Be?
I
understand, Vinicius.
I understood it too. Don't worry, Vinny Jr. All right, Marcus says, Jan, do you think it's possible that either Mbappe or Haaland can make an interest for Manchester United to create a chance of playing with their idol, Cristiano Ronaldo? So could they have their heads turned by Manchester United to play with Cristiano?
Well, I depend where they are in their career. I think we're starting with Erling Haaland. I think his next choice, yes, money will be important as is for every player, but it's all about titles. So I think to like Manchester United being a real alternative for both Mbappe and Erling Haaland, they have to show this year that they can challenge for the silverware. They won't go to any club that will just be playing along and being the third or fourth going into the Champions League. Mbappe is a world champion. He will go somewhere when he can get titles.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because if Mbappe was reported to not be that bothered about Lionel Messi coming to PSG,
yeah.
why
go?
Ronaldo?
Let me ask Jan this. If Erling Haaland goes to a United, and let's say United don't win the league or Champions League this season, would he or would his team, and including his dad, insist, if they were to go to United, insist on a release clause again? Because that, of course, was the stumbling block a few years ago. Is that a possibility, you think? Is that the kind of thing they're looking for this time around?
I think what we've seen, I mean, in Germany, there's a lot of criticism about Raiola being the agent doing the commercial deals for Erling Haaland. But so far, he has always looked for development, Xhaka. He went to Salzburg, he went to Dortmund. He didn't go for the big names. What he's doing in the next move is harder to say, because then he's 22. He has proven himself in the Champions League. He's proven himself in the Bundesliga. Where will he go then? I think that he will then go, yes, he need a manager that believes in him. Check. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the Manchester United manager. But remember, he said no to Manchester United when he went to Dortmund. So that's what I'm saying. that they need to be a top team that where he can have the prospect of winning the Premier League title. He will end up in England at some stage. He's born there. His dad played football there. But we'll see how many stops there will be before he ends up there.
OK, one for you, Robbo, from Divyansh, who says, how bad does Max Allegri's decision of turning down Real Madrid in favour of a return to Juventus look?
It doesn't look a particularly good one at the moment, does it, for Max Allegri? He had a long time out of football. He didn't want to take anything else on. He was picking and choosing which job he wanted to go to. He went back to Juventus thinking that he was going to turn them around. He might still turn them around, but it's going to be a very difficult job. I think some of their players are ageing. I don't think there's a great atmosphere around the camp. He's got to get it right fairly soon. If he doesn't get it right fairly soon, he could be on his way, a little bit like Andrea Pirlo did last year.
All right, we've got another one for you, actually, Robbo. Robbo, how terrific has Frenkie de Jong been for Barcelona? Not only that he makes runs into the box, he takes on players, runs with the ball, works hard defensively, and creates from midfield.
Yes, I would say he is the all-round midfield player, but when I've seen him play so far for Barcelona, yes, he's had good games, but I still think there's another 15% left in his game. I still think he can be more dynamic. When I saw him play for Ajax, when I see him play for the Dutch national team, he actually goes past people a little bit more. He makes more forward runs. He's a bit more dynamic. When I've seen him play for Barcelona this season, yes, he's played well, but quite often he's gone square with his passing. He hasn't sort of driven forward. He wants to show how composed he is. At times, you have to be more dynamic, and that's what I'd like to see from Frenkie de Jong. Just another 10, 15%.
All right, I'll get all of you on this one. I'll start with you, Jan. Out of all the young players making their move to the Premier League this year, which are you most excited for? Trincao has impressed me a lot so far at Wolves.
That is a tough one. I can't see even. I can hear you, and I can't see the last line on the Twitter.
All right. Well, they're impressed by Trincao, but which young player that's gone to the Premier League are you looking forward to seeing more of this season?
I want to see more of. And then I will take.
Jadon Sancho's going to say his.
Of course. Yeah.
But I've always praised him, Kay, and that's why I also had to stand there when he's playing bad, because he hasn't arrived yet at Manchester United. And I hope that the Cristiano Ronaldo signing will help him going in there. But it's a lot of great young players. And I have to say one who we think is getting older, Alexander Trent-Arnold by Liverpool. Fantastic player to watch. And I will. That's the one who excites me most.
Yeah, already there.
What young players have made the move?
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm trying to think of who's made the move.
Well, there's one at the Jadon Sancho for sure.
Well, it's a short list.
There's probably a whole list, but you know, it's just escaped. I bet Robbo's got a few. Robbo, help us out.
I'm going to go with Trincao, because so far I've watched the highlights of Wolves, and he has been absolutely magnificent, playing in a sort of semi-second centre-forward position, running with the ball, going past people, picking out passes. He's been absolutely superb in the games I've seen. So he's been one of the outstanding players to come into the Premier League this season, and let's hope that continues for a little bit longer.
All right, I'll go to you with this, Shaka. Ravi wants to know, do players watch and get influenced by managers' pre-match press conferences? And if yes, who was the best at it?
Oh,
Kevin Keegan, Shaka.
I don't think I get influenced by pre-match press conferences. You can get put off by a pre-match press conference. As long as the manager doesn't say anything silly, it's all about what he says in the dressing room before the game. That has an impact. You can get motivated by the opponent's manager and his pre-match press conference. But as far as you're concerned and your own manager goes, it's all about what your manager says. And for me, probably the best at that, I've often said, Harry Redknapp was the best man manager I played under. And it showed in how he dealt with people in the dressing room before games. That was his strength. There can be a lot of criticisms around Harry Redknapp, but his strength was managing his dressing room.
Jan, what do you think about this question? Do players watch and get influenced by managers in the pre-match press conference?
I agree with Shaka. It's more that you get influenced what a manager tells you and how he's like in the dressing room and how he's like in the team meetings and the press conference. It's a lot of blah, blah anyway, so you don't get it up for them. But But I remember our mate Brian Robson having a go at our team. We play Aston Villa away, and he asked Ravanelli to do something, a couple of runs that he wanted him to do, and Ravanelli was sitting there with his translator, and he was going into this rant in Italian, and I don't speak Italian, but I understood that he was not happy and having an unbelievable rant. And when he was finished, after Robson asked him if that's okay, Rav, the translator said to Robson, turned around and said, "Yes, it's okay." So I mean, you
kind of lost a bit.
Yeah, it was a bit lost in translation. It's also lost in your leadership, because I think that that was a typical Ravanelli, but it was also typical Robson to let that go somehow.
Yeah. The interpreter knew. Yeah, the interpreter was like, "I'm not seeing that."
Robbo, is there anything that comes to mind?
Oh, I've said to you many times, you know, I was fairly motivated as a player. I didn't look at what the manager said. The only thing that managers could do to me was demotivate me, and I won't keep going over about Bobby Gould again. I know he's a great friend of yours, but that's all I would say. Let's just go back to Xhaka. When he talked about Harry Redknapp and being motivated by Harry Redknapp, the reason he was motivated by Harry Redknapp, because Harry Redknapp paid him twice as much money as any other manager did over his career.
I don't know what you're talking about, Stuart. I think I need Ravanelli's interpreter for this one.
You know what? I just thought of one, though. Do you remember when Mourinho said, "If I want to go hunting, I need a dog, not a cat," about Karim Benzema? And it did the job. And Karim Benzema, you know, it was just the right words.
Okay.
That was a famous one. And the reason I mention it is because this is the next question. If you guys were coaching, would you all ever celebrate similar to how Mourinho did?
Robbo used to coach.
Can you, Xhaka, imagine me running down the touchline celebrating with the players? I don't think that was my style.
I imagine you doing that when you were playing.
I was very calm, very composed. No, exactly. Only when I scored did I celebrate. When other players scored, I used to run back to the halfway line. So, yeah, you're not going to get me doing that as a coach or a manager. So, not my style, I don't think.
I'm cool, calm and composed. Jan, on the other hand...
Jan, you were a coach. Are we going to get a little knee slide or a run down the sideline off you?
Jan could go anywhere.
Exactly, Xhaka. I have to be honest. I would have done everything. When I was a player, I ending up doing the airplane. But before I found that one after celebration, I did all the silly stuff. I did a Lee Sharp Elvis one. I did everything. I would be the most stupid, embarrassing coach ever when my team scored.
I like it. A bit of Ted Lasso there. That's it.
What
time for?
We done?
It is.
Right.
Although we've got a little bit of bonus content for you.
Where? When?
A bit of Premier League action for you, because Everton took on Burnley today. In fact, Xhaka ooming and eyeing at this one. We'll bring you the goals from it. 54th minute. Ben Mee put Burnley ahead.
Good header. Typical Burnley goal. Ball into the box. Burnley keep numbers forward, and it's Ben Mee who gets on the end of it. Header that nothing Pickford could do anything about.
Yeah, but the lead wasn't to last for long. Michael Keane here against his old side.
Yeah, answer like for like, centre-half for centre-half. And this is where Everton just opened up. This was some strike, some finish.
Andreas Townsend then put them ahead, and there was to be another goal.
It was his cross for the first goal as well. And then look at this ball because Demarai Gray. Look at that first touch. And then what a finish pass, Nick Pope. This Everton just running rampant at this point. Really, Burnley had no answer at all.
You like that one, Jan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we underestimate when what we always do team as a goal of the season, we always do volleys or shots and everything. But that first touch, second touch and third touch from Gray, absolutely. That is close to art. That is brilliant to watch. And that's why Everton always up there with the big teams.
And let me say, coming in, I thought Rafa Benitez taking over at Everton was a heartbreak in the making. And the football they displayed, once they played out of Burnley's press, I thought Everton were simply fantastic. So far, I stand corrected.
So far, so good for Rafa and Everton. Anyway, we're going to let you all go home now.
You've all done a wonderful job.
Thank you so much for answering the questions. We'll be back tomorrow with more from ESPN FC as we look back on the Champions League. Join us then.